As tensions mounted in the run-up to the Russo-Japanese War, the Imperial Japanese Navy was doing everything it possibly could to pull together not just a battle fleet, but also potential reinforcements for said battle fleet against the inevitable losses. In addition to a Core 6-6 plan for a fleet of 6 battleships and 6 armoured cruisers, attempts were being made to purchase more capital ships from overseas. Now, although no readily available battleship purchases were successful, some battleships were ordered from scratch, and a pair of armoured cruisers already in service were secured from South America. Now, with the outbreak of war, the Imperial Japanese Navy soon faced a major problem. Russian mines very quickly accounted for 2 of the Japanese Navy's precious battleships, and a number of other vessels also fell victim to mines and various other attritional events in pretty short order. While the arrival of the 2 purchased armoured cruisers would offset the battle line issues somewhat, as the Japanese used both battleships and armoured cruisers in the battle line, there were 2 major problems. Firstly, it was expected that elements of the Russian Baltic and Black Sea fleets would arrive at some point to reinforce the Pacific Squadron, and also, the ships that had been ordered from the keel up overseas as new builds couldn't be delivered during the war, even if they were somehow complete in time, as the countries in question had declared neutrality. And so it seemed, to keep up the strength of the Imperial Japanese Navy, they were going to have to build some capital ships themselves. Now, this might seem easy, except for the fact that at this stage, the biggest warship Japanese yards had built thus far was the Matsushima-class cruisers of just over 4,000 tons, as all their battleships had been built abroad, and let's just say no one was keen to repeat the Matsushima experience anytime soon. Nonetheless, special funding was authorised to build a pair of battleships and 4 armoured cruisers in home shipyards, somehow. The first of these ships to be laid down would be a pair of armoured cruisers, the Tsukuba and Ikoba. These ships were a rather radical departure from the standard armoured cruiser design, while at the same time actually maintaining various design elements pretty much consistently. Initial encounters with the Russians of the Pacific Squadron had showed that battles were being fought at substantially greater ranges than pre-war thinking had suggested. And so, very rapidly, a radical design change was drawn up. This used, broadly speaking, the existing armoured cruisers present in the fleet as a template for the hull, but made several important changes further up. The ram bow was deleted in favour of a raked bow and a raised forecastle for better seakeeping. The superstructure was heavily minimised to provide less of a target for incoming shells. And critically, the main battery, which on many armoured cruisers at the time was either a pair of twin 8-inch turrets or something of that weight class, was replaced by a pair of twin 12-inch guns, as found on pre-dreadnought battleships. Along with other changes, this remarkably fast turnaround of designs saw the keels laid within months of the call for their construction. You had to keep all that design change elements in that short space of time. It was then decided that the ships would be built at Kure. That meant that they also had to undertake some rather fast and radical expansions to the infrastructure present there, since Yokosuka was actually the far more advanced yard, and in most times the logical choice. It was also thought to be far more vulnerable, and it was feared that the Russians might bombard it and destroy any ships on the slipways. Kure was much easier to protect. The final product, in some ways, had more similarities to some pre-dreadnoughts than it did to armoured cruisers, particularly Italian pre-dreadnoughts. It had a similar main battery, 2 twin 12-inch turrets, as you'd find on pretty much most pre-dreadnoughts, 1 fore and 1 aft. There were a dozen single 6-inch casemate guns, along with another dozen single 4.7-inch guns in a mixture of casemates and deck mounts. Those 2 sets of guns made up the bulk of the rest of the armament, and there was a scattering of 12-pounder, 3-inch, and 3-pounder guns, although these were not in fighting tops, as fighting tops were actually abandoned in the design. There were also 3 submerged torpedo tubes, 1 per side and 1 astern. Armour was a maximum of 7 inches thick on the belt, with a 2-inch thick maximum thickness of deck, and a top speed of just under 21 knots. Courtesy of just under 21,000 indicated horsepower from a pair of vertical triple expansion engines driving 2 screws. although coal-powered, oil spraying was available to boost total power output, and the ships would displace just under 14,000 tons. Named, as we'd said, Tsukuba and Ikoma, the ships were laid down in January and March 1905 respectively, launched in December 1905 and April 1906, but commissioned quite far apart in January 1907 and March 1908, in large part because the lead ship had a lot of extra resources thrown at her in an effort to actually get her ready before the end of the war, but the latter vessel was finished at a far more leisurely pace after the war ended. Due primarily to the size of their main guns, they would be moved in designation from armoured cruiser to battle cruiser in 1912, and in many ways you could see them as a pre-dreadnought battle cruiser equivalent, albeit one that was more centred around the classic armoured cruiser mission. The fact that there were other pre-dreadnought battleships that were almost as fast, and other pre-dreadnought battleships that were actually less well protected than them, also blurred the lines of what exactly these things were somewhat. After a reduction in the overall number of secondary guns, the two ships joined World War I initially as part of a hunting group that was trying to track down von Spee's East Asia Squadron, but when it was clear that that unit was long gone from the Western Pacific, they settled instead for helping to seize German colonies, which now had precious little to defend them. Such was the pace of technical development, though, that less than a decade after they entered service, they were already being relegated to second-line duties. But at the start of 1917, Tsukuba suffered a magazine fire and exploded, while Ikoma was turned into a gunnery training ship, before then being scrapped as part of the provisions of the Washington Naval Treaty in the early 1920s.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.